And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome to the third of our four simultaneous podcasts. We've already done The American, in which we did not have John Tytel's video. We did The Atlantic 10, where we had everybody's video. We're going to be doing the West Coast Conference. I don't know if we're going to have any videos. Yeah. This is the Mountain West, and we have myself and David on video. We've lost both Johns. We have audio only for both of them now. David, what the heck is going on with our?
I don't know, but we're nipping this in the bud. We're probably not using this anymore. Anyway,
Google, you're fired.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this is our Mountain West preview, where we're going to be taking a look at one of the most powerful conferences from last year. It was strong top to bottom.
Oh. Well, it was bottom.
It was bottom. One and only one team in the NCAA tournament last year from the Mountain West. David, we actually considered relegating the Mountain West down to under the radar, did we not?
Yeah, we talked about it. It's still not to that level. It's the first time in its existence that I could recall where the first place team was not inside the bubble. And San Diego State was at least on it. They were close. They had a case. So they're still up here. But it was a historically bad year for the Mountain West. One team on the 14 line, nowhere close to the bubble. It was odd.
Yeah, Fresno State, a 14 seed, lost by double digits to Utah. John T., they did do well in the other tournament. San Diego State in the NIT made the semifinals. Nevada won the CBI. So at least a little bit of postseason success there for the Mountain West.
Indeed it does. I'm going to focus on Nevada because they are going to surprise some people this year. They got Eric Musselman as the head coach. They made it all the way to the top in the CBI. They had a three-point overtime win over Morehead State in the title game, and they bring back a lot of people. Senior shooting guard DJ Fenner had 17 points in the title game win. Cameron Oliver, as a freshman power forward, had 20, 10, and 6 blocks in the game. They have a nice mix of youth and experience and size and not. They also bring in a lot of transfers. Leland King from Brown, because you got to get those Ivy League transfers. Marcus Marshall from Missouri State, and the double shot of Caleb and Cody Martin from the Wolfpack that is NC State to the Wolfpack that is Nevada.
And John T., one of the things I kind of like about Nevada going forward, even beyond this year, is – and although he got a ton of criticism for his job at UNLV, Dave Rice is now an assistant here for Musselman. And I think that's going to pay off on the recruiting end of things, because even if he may not have had the X's and O's, I think he was a hell of a recruiter.
I couldn't agree more. He's also a great player. He won the NCAA title in 1990 playing for Tark at UNLV. He made 5 consecutive tourneys as an assistant to Dave Rose at BYU. So he knows hang around coaches who are successful. I don't know exactly how Musselman plans to use him in terms of X's and O's versus recruiting, but I think as far as assistants go, it's hard to find one with more experience as a winner than Dave Rice.
Stalika, do you think Nevada is the best team in the Mountain West this year?
I think Nevada is going to be one possible team, but I'm also looking to New Mexico. We go further south. We say goodbye to Colin Neal, who transferred because of some of the New Mexico fans who were doing God knows what to them. But they will have Elijah Brown coming back. He's averaged over 20 points. And if you remember him from his Butler days, he does have some, former ties. So we'll have to watch and see how the Lobos do this year.
Well, David, let me ask you about both these teams then, both Nevada and New Mexico. Who are you going to side with in this battle between our two Johns? And we do a video back with Stalika somehow.
All right, well, I'm going to side with John.
Good job.
Yeah, well, no, I like Nevada more, probably because I just think that they're trending up more. And again, you know, with what they have coming back and what they're adding, and I like – I like their coaching. I like what they have coming back. I don't know if I like them to be – inside the bubble, but I think they're good enough to be on it in the picture. This program is really going in the right direction, and I think it's going to be an exciting year for them. I like Nevada.
All right. John T., how about New Mexico, who Sleek brought up? Do you think they are a tournament caliber team?
I don't. Tim Williams and Elijah Brown are tournament caliber players, and I like Coach Neal, but I just don't think there's enough there. Schedule is not too difficult outside, of course, of a trip to my Arizona Wildcats on December 20th, but the Pit is not what it once was, and even if they can get a lot of bad but numerically good non-conference wins, I don't think that they are going to be one of the top two teams in the league.
So who is the number two team behind Nevada then?
I got the Aztecs, and I really like this team. Of course, Coach Fisher, who won a title of his own way back in the 80s, I believe, 89 to be correct, a ton of backcourt talent. Devin Watson, Montague Gil-Caesar, who transferred from Missouri, Trey Kell, last year's defending rookie of the year, Jeremy Helmsley, and Dakari Allen, who had 13 points in their loss to GW in the NIT semifinals. The only big guy up front, Zylan Cheatham, is a sophomore, and none of those, only one of those six guys is a senior. So I think they're a year away from being very good, but I think they have enough talent and a Hall of Fame caliber coach that they can finish in the top two and make it to the dance in March.
Yeah. And this is a program that did schedule up knowing there weren't going to be many opportunities for signature wins in the Mountain West. They're going to be going to Gonzaga as part of the tip-off marathon. They're also going to be playing California and Sacramento to help tip off the Golden One Center, which is also going to be a tournament site in March this year. They also have a game at Loyola, Illinois, which is part of the Missouri Valley Mountain West Challenge. And they also have a game at Grand Canyon. And they'll get to avenge their loss at home to the Lopes from last year. And then they're also going to be part of the Diamond Head in Hawaii.
I actually like San Diego State more than Nevada. I just said I like them to finish first, actually.
Okay. Well, one player, John T., you didn't mention Malik Pope at all that down low. I mean, is this a guy that could break out and really be the difference for them this year?
Could. I mean, he's another big guy. I think that it would help if – I think it'll be okay. I don't think he's going to be, like, first team all Mountain West. And I don't know that he – brings them from off the bubble to on the bubble, but he'll certainly help. I just think that they're loaded in the backcourt, so I think that their success is going to depend on their guards.
All right. Well, David, let me go back to you on the San Diego State team. Why are you picking them to win the conference?
I just like them better. I mean, they're really tough defensively, and I think they have more pieces than Nevada has. I think that they get back inside the bubble again this year and that they're safely in. That's all I got for the conference, though. I have San Diego State safely in, and then Nevada on the fringe of the bubble, maybe getting in, and that's really it. I think that's all they get.
And that's what I was about to ask. Let me turn that question over to Sleeka then. Is there anybody else that's a bubble caliber team in this conference besides the three we've already discussed?
I'm not sure if they're going to be bubble caliber yet, but we're also going to have to pay attention to a UNLV. I mean, we already mentioned Dave Rice moving on, but they will have Marvin.
Top 10 caliber yet in this conference.
They will have Marvin Mensis coming in.
John, I'm going to help you out here.
John, you have lead in your house.
John, the correct answer to my question was no. There is not. Tytel, do you want to make a case for anyone else in this league?
No, but I want to give UNLV credit for their scheduling in December alone. Duke, Oregon, and Kansas, there are very few teams that have three top 10 matchups in a month. So kudos to the Rebels for doing that. As far as the rest of the conference, there's nobody who blows me away. I suppose if I had to pick – I'll let you guys talk, and I'll try to find a sleeper, but it's going to take a while.
Well, I'll tell you, if I have to pick a sleeper, and again, this is, you know, put a gun to my head, pick a team that nobody's talking about. I like the fact that Air Force has a lot of guys back. I also don't think they have a guy taller than 6'5 or something on the team, though, so it's a hell of a sleeper. But, David, do you have anybody else that could be a sleeper?
Well, I think the whole conference is a sleeper.
Well, that's a pretty good answer, too. You've got Utah State – I'm sorry, Wyoming – Utah State, Fresno State was in the tournament last year, even Boise State. Sleeka, any case for any of these teams? Yeah. Okay, we've got crickets from Sleeka.
I don't think they're a tournament team, but I do think Fresno State's program, while they won't be as good as they were a year ago, they weren't inside the bubble last year. They won the automatic bid, and they lost what was easily their best player, but I still think their program is moving in the right direction, and they are at least worth watching this year.
They're worth watching.
However, I would like to wish Larry Shyatt a happy retirement, although I wish he had done it a year earlier after Wyoming had won the Mountain West tournament in 2015.
Tytel, did you find anyone for us yet?
Sure. If you like foreign players, I'll go with Colorado State and Coach Eustace. Okay. He brings in Deanne Clavel from Puerto Rico and Emmanuel Amagbo from Nigeria. Clavel missed some time last year with a broken hand. Omagbo was an All-American in junior college. The schedule is a little tough. A couple little Pac-12 pride with Stanford and Colorado. Also Wichita State and Kansas State. So they will be tested early. But both those guys, Clavel and Omagbo, are seniors. So heavy sleeper and probably not going to make it. But I think they'll I think they'll be competitive.
David, one team we haven't mentioned yet. Huh? How about San Jose State down way, way, way at the bottom? I would note they picked up 4 conference wins last year. That was the most of the past 5 seasons, so congratulations.
Yeah, I was about to say it. Like, I mean, poo-poo that all you want. That was a huge improvement. They'll be either 10th or 11th. They're bad. They're just bad.
Well, I think I already know the answer to this question, but given that, I think we don't have much more to discuss on this league. Let me run through each of you. This is, John T., let me start with you. How many teams make the field, and which teams are they?
As much as I'd like to set the over-under at 1, I think that San Diego State-Nevada loser might sneak in. I really don't – I mean, New Mexico's got a shot. I'm not a believer. My heart says 2. My head says 1.
Salika.
San Diego State wins the regular season and gets an at-large, and I'll go with Nevada to win the Mountain West tournament and get the automatic bid.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you say that, Stalico, let's say San Diego State does win both. Do you think Nevada gets an at-large bid?
If that's the case, I think it's going to be just a one-bid league.
Okay. David.
I agree with John. Like, I think it's I think their first place team is inside the bubble. I think that team is San Diego State, and if they get a second win, it'll have to be via the automatic.
I agree with that as well. I think Nevada ends up being that regular season champion, though. San Diego State being the second best team, but either way, there is no way this league gets more than 2 teams in, and I have a real good feeling that we may be discussing this year. This time again next year, whether to relegate the Mountain West down under the radar. But for now, they are here. They have their podcast. Sorry, David, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say they may get relegated, but we're about to talk about a conference that was the opposite of relegated.
Absolutely. For those of you that had tuned in here to hear about the American or the A-10, go up there. But where we're heading next is right down below us to the West Coast Conference, which should be fun. It's the first time we've ever done a West Coast Conference preview podcast. So we'll talk to you again in just a few minutes.